Are you ready to realize the true potential in your life and help others do the same? Get equipped to create a thriving future with the Secrets of Success podcast. Inspire others to live, lead, and work on purpose, and experience the joy of watching satisfaction and productivity come to life. And now, here's your host, Dr. Ken Keyes.
Welcome to Secrets of Success podcast. I'm Dr. Ken Keyes. Well, thank you for joining me for part four of the Quest for Purpose podcast. You know, when we talked about the first three podcasts in areas as far as Quest is a process. It's never really done. It's something that you continue to refine throughout your lifetime to make sure that you stay on track with what your purpose is. So obviously the first part is to figure out what is your purpose. And then once you have done that is to not leave it alone, but be, as I mentioned earlier, constantly in refinement of that direction for yourself. So I just want to cover with you, in the first three podcasts, we talked about all the work that you do sort of in the beginning or up front, or the belief systems or the understandings or the characters or the traits that you need to really live a life on purpose. And many of the other purpose books don't cover that. But in this one, in part four, I just really want to talk about some of the steps that are included in the book and in the process to be able to determine what your purpose is. Even though we talked about assessments in part three and the critical assessments and components that you need to understand, be aware of as far as style and your wellness level and your values and your self-worth. But in that, what Quest does in part three and part four of the book is take you through a step-by-step series of questions and help you to journal what is most important in your life. Now, I mentioned the very first podcast that my friends Richard O'Dell and Dick Bowles, that why is it that the majority of individuals have not found their life purpose? I mean, that's 80, 90%, depending on what research that you look at. And they said in unison is that people have not been willing to do the work. When I went through this process myself over 30 years ago or three decades ago, where I knew that I was supposed to communicate and inspire others, but I didn't know to who and about what. And so my purpose in life is really to help others to live, lead, and work on purpose, and help you and others to realize your potential in all areas of your life in a holistic manner, not just some singular sort of focus, but really more of a general tone, a general contractor, if you may, be able to work on these different areas. So what are the things that you as a participant, or if you're teaching others as a coach or a consultant or HR or trainer or a parent even, on what they need to do? And so these strategies or these questions are for us to really ponder, to reflect, because the only person who can answer this is you. There's nobody else that can answer this query of what is your life purpose, because the answer that resonates is an internal reflection, not anything else. So I know a lot of parents or individuals, you think you know what's best for your child or your friend, your brother, your sister, or others. But the reality is only I as the individual can confirm that this is that direction. So I just want to spend a couple of minutes first to begin with on some of the belief systems that we have with Quest. First of all, I have a definition that we use about the myth of motivation. You know, I hate the word that, oh, Ken, you're a motivational speaker. No, I'm not. Because nobody motivates anybody. Only you choose to kind of go forward. And what I would suggest to you is that interests compel, interests draw. Interests are the ones that you don't have to have motivation. You know, when I'm speaking to large groups or people hire me as a keynote presenter or a seminar leader, and I have 1,000 or 2,000 people in the room, I don't have to actually think about wanting to do it. I know that I want to. I know that it's a place that I'm supposed to be. Or doing, you know, our three-day certification with individuals and we spend 14 and 16 hours intensely working together, is that motivation is a myth. I can't motivate you. Nobody else can motivate you. This is something that you do yourself. Interest draw. I want you to think about your favorite activity, or maybe you know somebody who is a golfer And they go out golfing 2, 3, 4, maybe 5 times a week if they're retired. And they hit this white ball around this course. And I ask people in my seminars, they says, do I have to force you to get on the course? They says, no. No, I don't. And so I said, where does that drive, where does that interest come from? You know what? We don't know. I don't know why I love speaking. I don't know why I love doing these podcasts. I don't know why I love to kind of communicate and write, but I just know that I do. And so the same thing is true for you, is what is it that you don't, that you love doing, that really inspires you, that compels you, that's an interest for you, that you don't actually, it's not a burden to kind of go work. And that is the belief system about Quest, is that when you get on track, then that's what's occurred. Now, that doesn't mean that there's not days where I don't feel like doing anything. Sure, when I'm tired, or maybe I've just been working too hard, or maybe I need a change up or some variety, that's fine. But the majority of days, 90% plus, I am completely in the zone. What would that mean if that was true for you? And maybe it's true for you, and now you want to teach others to do it, and that's what the Quest process will do. The other thing that I'm actually amazed at, I'm quite shocked sometimes, where is that life constantly leaves clues for people about what they should be and what they should do, but they haven't been paying attention to them. So our life leaves clues, but are we really looking? Are we paying attention to it? And so one of the things that I put in the book is a series of questions to say, okay, here are some things you need to be looking for. The other one that's kind of interesting, you know, as we get into this busy society, is the concept of what we call the myth of mutual exclusiveness. Here's what I mean by that, is that if I have a very successful career, then that means my health is going to suffer. If my health is well, then I'm really going to suffer on the career path. If I have a family, then that means I can't have a career. See, the reality is, who gets to decide what a perfect life looks like? You do, right? And so this idea of mutual exclusiveness is not true, because my best work will happen when I'm healthy. My family will be best served when I'm on purpose, and my career will be served when I'm serving my family. And so there could be some adjustments, there could be some altering, there could be some creative ways that this occurs. But imbalance in life happens when we don't do it all. So that's contrary to what everybody else says, well, I can't have it all. Well, yes, you can, because you get to decide what having it all means as part of that process. So that is something that's unique to Quest that most other people don't talk about. You know, when we think about going forward, there's some people that say that let's get rich quick. Let's really kind of move on this thing. My encouragement to you about that is that there is no such thing as get rich quick. When I was younger, in my 20s, I always thought that, I'm not going to have to spend, 10 years learning how to speak. I can do this right away. I'm going to be good right away. And what I've learned with my maturity and now being in the industry for nearly 30 years is that I was completely wrong, is that experience is irreplaceable. And who you need to become, the growth that comes in place, is that growth towards our goals and our objectives and our purpose takes time, in that it's a gradual space towards it, or time towards it. Just like people trying to lose weight. And if you lose 100 pounds in an afternoon, guess what? You're going to gain it back just as fast. It's the individuals who have lost it over time that have really created this lifestyle. The same thing with our success in life. Now, there are some exceptions. And we have sort of these billionaire social media kind of entrepreneurs who've done very well for themselves. But you know that that's rare. That's 1 in 10 million, or 1 in 100 million, or 1 in 1 billion. But the majority of us have had to pay the price. And when I say pay the price, it's investing in doing our craft. It's investing in going towards what we want to do. You know, I can't even imagine how bad a presenter I was 30 years ago. And I was there. I was presenting. But oh man, have I grown since there. And even recently, in the last 4 or 5 years, even after doing this for 25 years, I went to another level of confidence, another level of really being, And for me, it was more of a spiritual grounding where I just was in this zone, and it was just this maturity and this was education, and my voice came alive at a new level where it hadn't been before. And it was sort of a sense of sort of personal credibility and authority and expertise in the marketplace that I knew that I had achieved as a result of all the work I'd done, the 3,000 plus presentation, the 10,000 hours consulting and coaching, the 4 or 5 million words and 4 books that I read, is that as a result of that efforts, I'm better. And so I just want to encourage you that this takes time, that you have patience and that persistence. Again, I talked about that earlier in the traits. The character trait of persistence is important, is that it just takes time to get to an area of excellence. So just allow yourself that as one of the belief systems, that that's very, very important. Now, one of the things that I ask you to do in the Quest for Purpose Part 3 is that you start determining and reviewing your life. I actually get you to journal your past life and to write as many pages you can of everything that has been positive in your life as far back as you can remember. Remember, I mentioned just earlier in this podcast is that your life leaves clues. Well, those clues are left in the day-to-day things that you have done that really excite you. So what I ask you to do is to write really an autobiography as far back as you can think of all the positive events and occurrences in your life, and that you would just document that, you would write that out. Now, I did this personally with Mike McManus, who created this system through his program called Source way back in the 70s. Now, Mike has long passed, and he was a great mentor for me, and I appreciate the work that he did with me. But I wrote, I think it was 40 or 50 handwritten pages, foolscap, if you guys remember, that's a full page, of just writing a narrative of the history of all the things in my life that were very, very positive at that time. And so I get you to do a positive route. I don't want anything neutral. I don't want anything negative. We just want the positive review. In the positive review, I break it down into several different categories so that you can start looking at what are the experiences? What kind of people have you hung out with in your lifetime that really excite you or enthrall you, or you find that you want to be mentored by or hang out with or emulate? Or what about the senses and the smells? You know, was it the waterfall, or was it pounding waves at the ocean, or was it the fresh air at a 10,000 foot mountain that you had climbed, or right in the middle of the forest? Or maybe you were in the middle of the city and it was just the dynamic energy that was happening in Times Square and the humanity of just a crowded space and just everything that was going on, the excitement of that. And we were not here. Nobody here should judge whatever that positive event was for you. But we get you to document that so that you have a clear sense. What were all the pieces that were part of this positive review? And then we actually get you to start thinking about the three big things in your life. I mean, the most important things, the most peaceful things, the most exciting things. And what were those big tens? And then we also say, what are 7 passions that you have? And all of these, again, are leaving clues for you. And so when you've done that narrative and when you've done all this work, then we get you to actually, in Part 4, to say, okay, I want to analyze all the words and the information that's within this autobiography that you have set up. And some of it, you might be saying, well, Ken, that sounds like a lot of work. Well, you know what? It is. But you know what's even more work is living our life day to day without being connected to our purpose. What is more work is to be miserable, to have your immune system affected by the fact that you don't even love what you're doing, or some other people that you know is, guess what? It is effort. It is work. But welcome to life. But it's so worth it. It is so rewarding. It's so exhilarating when you get plugged into this. When you get connected to what your passions are, when you get connected to what your purpose is, oh, wow, your calling, your assignment. Can you imagine every day where that is true for you? And so, again, I am just very fortunate. I am blessed with the fact that I get to do what I love to do every single day. And as I said, not every day is perfect. Some days, you know, I maybe don't feel like it, but almost most days I do, which is contrary to the majority of the population. So we get individuals as part of this process to read through the narrative and then start to circle key words for them. And those words start to build a theme of your life about the things that you do that really do excite you. So once you've calculated all these words, we get individuals to then kind of create a master list and say, what word tends to come up the majority of the time? And what do those words, and refine those words and keep and bringing words that synonyms into the single sort of meaning, right? If I say speaking and training, I might combine those into one word, speaking slash training. If I say travel and or going to new places, maybe I'll combine those two into one kind of theme. And what I determine going through this process myself is that then we get you to create what we call a keyword sequence and a keyword master list where you have this keyword pattern or review. And we get you to distill your life down to 12 keywords. Those words then really start to represent the direction, themes, or underlying sort of purpose that's important to your life. So for me, really a spiritual life, travel, speaking, you know, energized by connecting with people. I'm energized by flying. So all of these kind of connected into my purpose. And then what I do is I get you to take this and then project this into 12 separate areas of your life and said, okay, you know, goals are fine, but what we want you to do is go one level above that in the quest process and be able to determine what are your vision statements in 12 specific areas in your physical life, in your financial life. Career is just one of the 12. So we have the majority of this work is really about your life and your personhood and less about your career, because career is there to serve you, to help you to feel fulfilled. Again, not from a self-centered point of view, but from a self-fulfillment point of view. So you start crafting these little micro vision statements. And these vision statements are active tense words or active tense sentences. It's something that you never achieve, but you're always achieving. A goal is something that you reach, and then you have to set another goal. But vision statements is something really about who you're becoming in each one of the 12 areas that are listed in the quest for purpose. And then out of that, out of all that work, once you've done that, and if you commit to this, I assure you that this will be the most rewarding activity or one of the most rewarding activities you've ever done in your lifetime. Then I ask you to craft, what does the perfect calling and work career life look for you? What does it look like to you? What does it mean as far as the lifestyle that you want and the direction you want to have? And what are you doing day to day, every day, every week, every month, every year that really causes you to feel fulfilled? Who are the kind of people that you're working with? What kind of environments are you traveling? And so for me, my vision is really about serving individuals in any format that I feel called in terms of communicating. So if it's moving into creating online courses or doing a podcast like this, and then anybody in the world at any time can listen to it. I mean, are you kidding me? I mean, if I think about 20 years ago, there was no such thing as iPhones and podcasts. And yeah, there was the odd recording that was online that was very difficult to listen to. But I have all my podcasts from my learning sitting, you know, in my hand on my iPhone every day. And so just the privilege to be able to do this. And so what does that mean for you? And so then I get you to establish what I call the quest wheel, which is these 12 areas where these micro statements, vision statements, then start to establish the activities and action steps that you need to put in place in each one of these areas to have that vision to start being fulfilled. Maybe it's already being fulfilled, but you're moving towards it in more active a statement. And then what we do is we say, okay, what are the action steps you need to take? Here's where the goals come to play. Now, I've added some bonus things into this book. In one of the chapters, the last chapters in the book I added was nothing happens without structure. You know, I'm fortunate to know Marshall Goldsmith, who wrote the book Triggers and What Got You Here Won't Get You There, you know, one of the top coaches in the world. And so I've had the chance to meet Marshall, and he's endorsed some of my work. And so what I've done is I've included some of Marshall, with his permission, some of Marshall's work in Nothing Happens Without Structure. You know what, if I'm going to do behavioral change, if I'm going to shift my habits, if I'm going to start something new in terms of my health or my leadership or my communication, I need to have a constant reminder. So we put in the back of this book a self-coaching grid and guidelines with the statements and the content that you need to be successful in implementing your new vision and your new life. It's so exciting because I didn't have that in that previous work. And I thought, so why is it breaking down? Why are certain people not being successful as they could be? And that's because they were not putting a structure in place to hold them accountable to the vision that they wanted in their lives. And that is there for you. You know, there's a lot of information in the Quest for Purpose that I just really don't have time in a short podcast like today to share with you. But I did want to kind of bring some closing remarks, and we'll end the session with and for you. And again, thank you for spending time with us. You know, there's nothing more important, I believe, and I have a bias, in you doing two things. First of all, you determining and figuring out what your life purpose is. And number two is really determining what the meaning is before purpose, which is really around that spiritual underpinning that we're not an accident, that there's more going on, and that you go on that journey really to clarify both of those. In my experience has been now in this industry for 30 years is that when you do it, the energy, the life, the fulfillment, the joy that comes into your life is really, quite frankly, indescribable. And again, I mention what I mention in every podcast, is every single person listening to this podcast has a calling, has an assignment, has a purpose. There is nobody listening to this that doesn't. And somebody says, well, I have no idea what my purpose is. Well, that's what the purpose of the four podcasts were. That's what the purpose of the Quest for Purpose book is, in the assessments that go in it, and all the information is in there, is do the work to get the answers. If you don't know your purpose, then, if I may say, your purpose is to find your purpose, is to find out why you're here. What is it that you are to call to make a difference in? And it doesn't matter what that is. If it is to be the best janitor in the world, or the best CEO of a Fortune 100 company, or a parent, or a mom, a dad, a husband, a wife, you know, it doesn't matter, a partner of some sort. It doesn't matter what you're called to be, as long as you're being it, as long as you're doing your best to fulfill it. And remember what I said about this, the survey of people that were over 70, what did they wanted to do differently? They wanted to commit to something that lasts beyond their lifetime. You know, pour into other people's lives, serve them, support them. You know, we're here to be able to support you. So if you want to learn more about how the Quest for Purpose can serve you, then go to thequestforpurpose.ca and get the book, or find out and listen to the audio files, or call me personally at our office at 604-852-0566, and we'll be able to serve and respond to you. If you want to implement this into an entire organization, that's more than possible to do it. I, again, thank you for listening to The Secrets of Success and listening to the Quest series. And I wish you the best to be able to live a life on purpose and make a difference. Thank you for listening. I'm Dr. Ken Keyes.
Thanks for exploring the secrets of success with us. If you want to keep the momentum going, log on to crgleader.com. Scroll to the bottom and sign up for our inspirational emails. You can also take your success to the next level by following us on Facebook and Twitter and connecting with Ken on LinkedIn. We hope you have a great week and look forward to you joining us next time for the Secrets of Success podcast with Dr. Ken Keyes.